Good afternoon. It's really a privilege to be here. Thanks so much, Richard. And I tell you what, I love the idea of an afternoon service because I'm a muso and I don't function before 11 a.m. in the morning. So it's great to speak with you this afternoon here at First Light Church. And my story, just a little bit about me and my work with Indigenous Ministries Australia. Now, I'm a non-Indigenous Australian, so but there are people that look like me that are actually Indigenous as well. So that's just to break a stereotype. There are people that look very differently and you might think, oh, are they Indigenous? But they can be. But my story is my family originally is from Germany and from England. A number of generations ago, we moved over to Australia. And I grew up in a little town called Katanning. Some of you may have heard of Katanning. And a bit further on, you've got Stirling Ranges and Bluff Knoll and all that. That's sort of the country where I grew up. And so my connections to a lot of the Noongar Aboriginal families and friends that I made down there was a real privilege to me. And later on, I got to have the real privilege to work with World Vision Australia. Some of you may have heard of World Vision. And we had a program particularly working and partnering with Indigenous communities around Australia. And so God really began to place on my heart a desire to work alongside, walk alongside, not to lead them, but to listen and to learn. And God really took me on a personal journey of what it meant for us to do that as non-Indigenous Australians. Just going to share just a little bit about, hopefully that... Here we are. So Indigenous Ministries Australia is a part of the Churches of Christ movement. And we have a number of programs around Australia that partner with Indigenous Christian communities. So you can see on the map there, we have a number of programs in WA, including in Perth, a number of Aboriginal ministries, as well as down in Bunbury, up in Port Hedland, and then across to Norseman and Esperance and then over east as well. And this has been going on for many, many years, and through faithful partnerships between non-Indigenous white missionaries working closely with Aboriginal Christian leaders and allowing them to lead and determine what they want for their own program. So that's been really exciting to see how that's grown over the last few years. We're all about creating shared spaces, spaces where we can listen and learn together. Who knows, we've still got some things to learn. Yeah, I hope that when I get to 100, God willing, my wife's probably not going to pray that, but I pray that I've still got a heart that says, God, I want to listen, I want to learn. What do you want to teach me today? I want to wake up every day and say, there's something new. There's something new that I can learn. There's some new thing I can learn from the person I walk down the street. And just as Richard said this morning, just before, how we can learn and listen to each other and listen to God through others as well. So one of the programs we're really passionate about is about developing young, emerging Indigenous Christian leaders. We really believe it's important for that next generation, just as it is for every culture, to have young leaders where the elders are listened to, but then they also get to pass the baton. Who knows, in some generations, sometimes the elders are very much like, no, I'll have the baton a little bit longer. So part of my role is working with the communities to encourage the Indigenous elders to speak into these young Indigenous leaders, but also just to say, hey, I'm going to let you take a bit of the lead now. I'm going to walk alongside you and then I'm going to allow you to step out. And that's what we need to see, because many of the leaders that we work with are getting on in age, and so it's really important for us to invest in our young Indigenous leaders. And so we're developing a scholarship program, which hopefully at another time we'll be able to share a bit more with your church. Has anyone seen this map before? Anyone? I'm going to come to this map. I just want you to have a look at it for a moment. This, as you can see, is Australia, but this is Australia pre-1788. This represents all the different Aboriginal tribes and nations with their own distinct languages that existed prior to European colonisation. It's quite amazing, isn't it? If you think of that like Europe, it's probably more countries in there than you could even imagine all across Europe and Asia. And that's one of those things that can begin to challenge us in how we see this land we now call Australia. But before we do that, I want to share a story about a young man. Young Jack had big plans for his life. He longed for great wealth, knowledge, and spiritual understanding. One weekend, he decided to go for a long walk through the Australian bush. He enjoyed doing this as a way of thinking about his future. As he hiked along the banks of the freshwater river, he dreamed of earning enough wealth to sustain him well beyond his own life, to live a life of real contentment, to have everything he needs. Then, as he walked past a series of rock holes and through the eucalyptus trees, he thought about attending an elite university, the best in the world, and acquiring knowledge from some of the world's most renowned professors. As evening came, he continued to walk with the help of the moonlight. And as he passed a series of caves and gazed up at the stars, he imagined experiencing the full power of God and having amazing spiritual understanding. As he continued, he began to hear young voices laughing in the distance. Suddenly, he stumbled across a campground where a young Aboriginal man was sitting around a campfire yarning with his family. The young man gestured for Jack to come and join them on the ground. As they kept warm by the fire, the young man told stories about his old people and this country that they had lived on and shared together for generation after generation. He spoke with a gleam in his eye about catching beautiful big barramundi in the freshwater river and the abundance of different fruit, seeds and nuts that his family would collect from the bush at this time of year. He recounted his knowledge of the eucalypts and the medicinal benefits that they have to help his community. He explained how the rock holes Jack passed are maintained so that fresh water can always be found within them for those that are travelling in the hotter, drier months of the year. Jack was in absolute awe of this young man, never been to university, never had some spiritual guru to go to. And as this man began to draw pictures in the sand of a nearby rock cave, he spoke about these dreamtime stories of the Creator, paintings on an ancient gallery wall. With their faces turned to the sky, the young man finally pointed up to the Southern Cross constellation and revealed to Jack just a glimpse of the sacred truth of what his ancestors had taught him about the one who would save his people, Christ, written in the stars. Jack no longer had visions of another place. The things he had been searching for were right here, right now, in front of him, on this land, in this country. Jack had found something of meaning, significance, and beauty. He had found a new friend whose contentment with life, the simple life, with wisdom that comes from connection to country, and the sacred listening to the world around him and to the stars and the Spirit of God speaking deeply within him, that would allow him to go on a journey for the rest of his life of listening and learning to last for all of his days. Right now, I'd like you just to hold your hands out for me. And we're just going to pray. And I want you to, as we're praying, I want you to be thinking about having open hands to receive something new from God, from God's Word, from God's Holy Spirit. Maybe put one hand as well on your heart, to hold one out, and in the other hand I want you to place on your heart and to ask God to just give you a heart that is willing to hear and listen and to be softened to new ways of understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank you that today can be the beginning for some of us of a new learning experience, a new journey. Lord, that you would challenge our assumptions about Aboriginal Australians in this country, about the journey that they have been on. Lord, that you would challenge our thinking about how we relate to other cultures and how you have called each culture to represent you in their own unique way. Father, we are often limited by our own Christian worldview, and which is often linked to colonial power And so today I pray that we'll have hearts of humility and vulnerability before you, and that we would be called to respond to your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said, country is central to Indigenous identity, but it is also important for each one of us. I'm sure each of you can think right now of an important part of your story that's connected to place, whether it be here now, a new place, or whether it be a distant place from many years ago. You know, I love about when I met with many Indigenous communities on my work with World Vision, the first thing they would ask you is not, what do you do? It was, where you're from. I want you to turn to the person next to you and ask them where they're from. Go on. Where you're from? Where you're really from? Where you're from? Where your people from? Now ask them, who's your mob? Who's your mob? Now, if you're anything like me, a white middle class, well, you're not white middle class like me, but you're not Indigenous necessarily. Maybe the first thing that when people ask you, it's what do you do? Which school do you go to? What job do you have? And when I found working with Aboriginal people, they're so much more focused on the connection to place and family. And that's so important. I think that's a really important lesson for us to learn in this country. Through stories grounded in place, country holds together a people's culture. To language, you know, we all have a language. To law, which can represent responsibilities that we have to care and nurture each other. To ceremony, things that are important for our family. They're same for all of us. They're just reflected in different ways. We need to think about, as a missional church, what it means for us to celebrate what it means for another culture. What it means for Indigenous people to feel proud of their country, to feel acknowledged for their ceremony, for their family, for their language. God has entrusted different nations to care for different lands. As I said, this is the amazing map which really blew me away a number of years ago. You know, there's evidence of First Nation existence on this continent for thousands and thousands of years. Some people have said 80,000 years. Others might say 70,000 years. But there were definitely 500 different individual Aboriginal nations pre-European colonisation, and 250 First Nation languages. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how amazing that would be to hear all those different languages? In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, it says this, God who made from one ancestor all nations, everyone say all nation, to inhabit the whole earth and allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live. So God actually ordained for which people would go where. Now this gets a bit screwed up, doesn't it? Because what happens, we come in, all humankind has this desire for power, has this desire to take over what doesn't belong to them. And so we see this throughout history, not just in Australia, but what you've got to come to terms with is that this nation that we now call Australia, there were so many different languages and cultures and family connections that were ripped apart because someone else thought, this place is empty. There's no real culture here. There's no real place here. And what God is challenging us to see, when we see and we look around in our community, we only see one thing. What's God actually saying to us? Is he saying, look closer. Who are the people in your neighbourhood? Who are the people at your school, at your university that aren't maybe fitting in? What does it mean for me to see beyond the colour of my own eyes and how I see things? Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I love Genesis 1 and 2. It's a good place to start in any book, the beginning. But we know that God created the whole world. He created humankind. He created creation. And he created the relationship between humankind and God, humans and each other, and humankind and creation. There was an intimate relationship there. God wanted to bless the importance of this relationship. One could not exist without the other. Each one had its place. And God entrusted humankind to care for creation, to be custodians of the land. And because it reflected who he was, the glory of the Lord is revealed in all the wonders of his creation. The very life force of God exists in all of creation. Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Now, this is something that Indigenous communities have really challenged me with, is that understanding of the interconnectedness of all things. You know, it's predominantly maybe more a European understanding, is that we like to separate things. We like to separate the physical from the spiritual. And that goes right back to Plato philosophy, where there was a sense that there's a dualism between the things that are supernatural up in the sky and what is just grounded, you know, earthly stuff. Whereas God actually says, no, no, there is an interconnection between what is in this earth and what is in the earth to come and what is in the spirit. It is all connected. And Aboriginal people understand this, that land gives life physically, emotionally, relationally and spiritually. I've often heard Aboriginal people say, "When my country's healthy, I feel healthy." And who knows, our planet at the moment is not too healthy. And I believe that really does break God's heart. He wants to see the renewal of all things, which includes our earth that he created to reflect his image. And so what is our part going to be in helping to sustain this earth and to care for this country of Australia that we live in today? God speaks through country. All through the Psalms, we see how God uses imagery of creation. Spirituality, often we, and this is an area where I know there's going to be some concerns around, well, how far do we go into spirituality? And I just want to set your mind at ease. It's really important to understand that there's no one particular answer. Every person will have a different perspective on what they bring. Each one of us don't fully understand or comprehend everything about the Word of God. And so that's why it's important for us to listen to many voices and to allow the Holy Spirit to give us a sense of conviction and peace around those things. But what I can say today is that there is a spirituality reflected in Aboriginal love of Christ, which was reflected uniquely in creation. Many of the stories that they tell about how they care for land, how they cared for each other, reflects more of the New Testament early church than what, sadly, the modern church represents. Sure, every religion can go into what's called syncretism, where they pull things from somewhere else and it becomes something that's not appropriate, that takes on something that is just purely cultural. But I also believe that God redeems each culture and uses the very best from each culture for his purposes. And that's my heart, not just for Indigenous Australians, that they will feel released to experience God and understand who Christ is in their own lives in their own unique way, and that it is a gift to the rest of Australia. The oldest living continuous culture in the world live here in Australia. And so I think they've got some things to say. God was here before white man came, and God spoke into these communities. Are our hearts ready to listen and to hear and to receive? Because they want to be on a journey with us. They want to do this together. You know, one thing I've been really privileged to experience is going out on country with many Aboriginal Christian elders. On the left there is Pastor Sonny Graham. He's a Church of Christ minister for many, many years, and he's still very closely connected to his homeland, which is near Norseman. Some of you may have been out near Norseman, out near the goldfields. And he's a Nadju man. That's his cultural group, his nation, and he speaks Nadju as well. And he took us out to these amazing places. He talked about the water tree. You know, the Nadju people are the only people on the planet that actually treat trees and actually shape trees to catch water. They actually shape trees. There's a way that they do this so that people who are coming through the desert, through the periods where there's no water, can always trap the water. And it's also a place where the animals can feed from, the marsupials, and they also can get their food that way as well. And so they've done this for generations, and now we've got ranger programs out in Norseman where they're actually training the young people to keep this tradition going. Now, I don't know about you, but that I believe that's a really vital cultural thing to be passed on. As I said, there's bush medicine. There's burning practices. You know, in Australia now with all the bushfires, what's happening? They're going back to some of the early fire burning methods, the cool burning practices of many Indigenous communities, because they realise that we haven't done this right as a Western society. One thing I've always heard many Indigenous people say is it's important to tread lightly, to use only what you need and share with others. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty biblical. What do you reckon? Only use what you need and then give away to others and share with others. And my heart sort of broke when I heard about the Juukan Gorge situation, the mining explosion and destruction of the Juukan Gorge, which is over 46,000 years old, and yet it held sacred stories. You can imagine it being like the stories of Abraham for the people up in that region in the Pilbara. That was their connection to their family, to their stories of their culture, ripped up in one instance because of a mining blast, because of a mining company looking for extraction and wealth before thinking about the land. You know, the impact of dispossession of land, the notion of terra nullius, which means no one's land, which was the reason why European people came to this country and said, we can actually claim this for Christ because no one lives here, no culture really lives here, has led to intergenerational trauma that's been passed on from generation to generation. But what we know, there's a hope in Jesus. There's a hope in Christians that are open to realising that Indigenous people have a faith, and to work with them and to support their young Indigenous leaders to reach their communities, to reach those that are hurting, and for us as other churches to walk alongside them, to partner with them, to not instruct them on everything that to do, but actually to go on a journey of listening ourselves and empowering them to use what's in their hands, not to drop what's in their hands and pick up some white fella's way, but to actually use what God's placed in their hands. You know, just as I wrap up, reconciliation. It's a word that gets bandied around a lot, doesn't it? You hear it a lot. Sometimes you think, is that just a tokenistic thing? Is it about political correctness? You know, you might have heard a welcome to country, and what is the church getting involved in these things for? But let me say to you today, in 2 Corinthians 5, what does it say? It says, Christ has given us the ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of reconciling others, ourselves to others, and others to God. Matthew 5, verse 23, it says this, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. I really believe here in Australia, the church has got to think about that brother and sister, our Indigenous brothers and sisters, as the first people of this land. A part of that gesture of reconciliation is to go make right. Where possible, spend that time listening, honouring, remembering the history, allowing them to tell you of their pain, of what they've lost, but also what they hope for the future. If we don't do that, then we come to church and we worship, and yet God's heart breaks for his first people of this place, because he wants them to be included. He wants, just as they want us to be a part of experiencing the amazing joy of this land and the riches, the knowledge, the sacredness of this place, they want us to experience that, but we also need to open up our hearts. And before I finish, I'd love to just share with you a short video from our Bunbury Aboriginal Church partners, Charmaine, and also Dina, who's one of our Noongar elders up here in Perth. I want them to share their story because I'm a white fella talking a lot today. I'd be told to shut up if it was in an Aboriginal community. But here, they can't be everywhere. They've got their churches. And so part of my role is going out and just helping to educate a little bit and so you can have some understanding. I want you to listen to this short video about welcome to country and about the importance of land for them. Thanks, guys.
My name's Charmaine Councillor, Nee Bennell, a local in Bunbury for 48 years. If you look behind me, the ocean's called Wardan. So Wardan is the name of the area here, of the ocean, for the Wardandi people. As a Christian person, looking at how Jesus had these parables in the Bible, has that common sort of connection where he talks about the land, you know, God talks about the connection to land, you know, talks about seeds, you know, talks about growth, and there's parables about their culture right through the Bible. And I can see for myself particularly how it's very similar to our Aboriginal culture. That's about the land, it's about the people looking after the land. Welcome to country. It's an opportunity for Noongar people or other people from different languages and communities to actually welcome someone to their land, and it's giving respect to the custodians of the land that you may be visiting, that you may be walking on or living on, and it's just showing their ultimate respect. And a welcome to country is like someone coming into your home. You know, you're inviting them in, you're welcoming them, and you look after them. And then it's your responsibility to care for them while they're on your land. To me, it's a great opportunity to be able to meet the elders of that community, get to know the community, and to understand their protocols on their land. A welcome is usually conducted by an elder and a custodian of that land. An acknowledgement to country is someone that is a younger person or can be someone that's visiting someone's country.
I'm Dina. My family's Narkel, Michael. It goes right back. We're Abrams, Humes. My family's Wilman and Balladong tribes. My grandmother, she comes, great-grandmother on my mother's side, she comes from up from Fitzroy Crossing. When we first come up from Narragin, we just went down to the river because we had a little look around. We looked at the river and it was really beautiful, you know. It was gave us a whole new direction in life. Just looking at that was enough for us to be happy that God has moved us to a beautiful place with a beautiful river. And we used to go there all the time for the kids to swim and just play and just relax. So I'll just go down there and sit and just sort of, you know, close my eyes and just relax and think, I wonder what it was like when my mob were here. Were they, their spirits were free and happy? They didn't have any noise. Like, all this would have been just noise of the language and the people. But there was nothing else, you know. And I really get a real sense of peace from that when I go down there and think about that. Because people have to understand the connection to the land is, it is real. It's not something that we make up. Because when you put your feet in the sand or your hands in the water or the river, you know, you're a part of it, you're connecting to it. I think what Australia needs to learn is that the land does so much. It feeds us, it shelters us, it gives us finances, it takes care of our children. You know, the land gives so much back to us. It's like if you go into somebody's garden, you know, and you look at their garden and you go, wow, that's beautiful. How did you look after that? That rose is growing lovely. Oh, look at that fruit tree. Oh, look. You know, it's like with us. When you come with us, wow, that river's beautiful. How did you look after it? Well, then we'll tell you.
Yanwangpaya, paya yiramaman.
us. So I'm going to teach you a few Noongar words now, and then we're going to wrap up. Are you ready? You going to think you can learn some another language? Okay, some of you probably know multiple languages. Who knows more than one language? Yeah, who knows more than two languages? Wow. Who knows more than three? Okay. Oh, wow, come on. Humble pastor. Okay, I want you to say the word kaya. And turn to the person next to you and say, kaya. So that means hello. That means hello in Noongar, but it also means yes. And it also means, think about the Bible, what's a word that it might also mean if it means yes? It also means amen. So when I preach really good, you need to go, kaya, or when Pastor Richard preaches, all right? Okay. Well, I just want to share this last picture. I've got, I think, one more slide left on that PowerPoint. Here we are. As you know, the Swan River. Now, you would have heard Auntie Dina Gower talk about the Derbal Yerrigan. So that's the name, the Noongar language name for the Swan River. And there's some amazing stories about the Swan River, which I really encourage you to just get onto Google. Everyone heard of Google? Okay. But I just want to share just briefly an acknowledgement of country, which is something someone who's not Indigenous can also do, particularly at special events or at a place where you feel like it's important to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. And you'll notice that often we use the word custodian just because it's a biblical term. We talk about being custodians and carers for the land. That it's not owners of the land. And many Indigenous people will say, we don't like the white fella's use of the word ownership. We don't think about owning the land. The land, we belong to the land. There's a belonging that we have. We are part of it. And so it's not about an ownership of, it's not about an extraction of the land and buying and doing all of that to subduing the land. It's about that relationship, that respect, that reciprocal relationship, which is so important in many Aboriginal communities, all Aboriginal communities. So I'd like you to stand with me now as you look at those beautiful images of the Derbal Yerrigan. Everyone say Derbal Yerrigan. So next time you go down the Swan River, I want you to go, hey, let's go catch some fish, not barramundi, but let's go catch some fish down at the Derbal Yerrigan, okay? I would like to pay my deep respect to the Whadjuk Noongar people who have cared for this land upon which we meet today. They have been faithful stewards of this corner of God's wonderful creation. The Whadjuk people who live within a 50-kilometre radius around Perth are one of the 14 different tribes of the Noongar people. Whadjuk means the guardians of the link between the land and the sea. This link being the Derbal Yerrigan, the Swan River. Once a year, the Whadjuk would travel along the Derbal Yerrigan and meet at Wayalup, Fremantle, to celebrate the country and waterway they cared for. I acknowledge their continuing connection to this land, to their language and their culture. I pay my deep respects to Noongar elders past, present and emerging. I pray that together Indigenous and non-Indigenous people will walk together on this land in a journey of listening, learning and friendship. As we think of the Derbal Yerrigan and its importance for the Whadjuk people, also remember the words of the prophet Amos, who declared, "Let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Amen. Amen.